I don't know if you caught it or not, but John chapter 6, verse 66, also 66 is the number of the beast in Revelation. This verse, I hope you always remember it, John 666, because it is one of the two saddest verses in the Bible. I think Revelation chapter 20, and whosoever was not found written in the book of life was cast in the lake of fire, is the worst verse in Scripture from man's point of view. Because it's the day whenever all hope is lost. Verse 666 is the passage where, now watch this, Jesus Christ has had thousands, maybe 30, 40,000 people on a side of a mountain, and 5,000 men and besides women and children. And he looks at a little boy and he's got a lunch, and he says to his disciples, let's feed them all. And they just about came unglued at the seams. Said, if we took a year's wages, we couldn't feed all these people. What are you talking about, Jesus? And he says, what do you have? And they looked around. They saw one little boy with his lunch. How'd you like being that little boy? Hey, give me your lunch, will you? And that's my lunch. And he gets a lunch and he says, hey, we've all got this one little kid's lunch. And he says, okay, everybody sit down. He thanked the Lord for the food, started passing it out, and he fed 30, 35, 40,000 people because he created food from the lunch. Just put some in the basket, put some in the basket. The Bible says they went around, collected all the fragments, and got 12 baskets of food left. I wonder if they took the 12 baskets and said, here's your lunch back, son. I wonder if they did that. And this boy's eyes, he walked in the water, calmed the storm. They had seen him do miracles. So then he decides to speak about the bread of life. And he said, I'm the bread of life. And he said, everyone that comes to me and eats of me, he said, saying, the idea is that you put your faith and trust in me, then you have an opportunity to go to heaven. I'll bring you to heaven with me. And there are people that heard all these things, and you'll notice in the text, look in verse 66, verse 64, but there are some of you that believe not. Now, Jesus Christ, if he were here, could look out among you and know everyone in this room whose name's written in the book of life, and everyone who's not. He would know everyone who's put their faith and trust in Christ. Now, I want you to understand this. Putting your faith and trust in Christ has nothing to do with being a member of Temple Baptist Church or being baptized. We have a couple to be baptized this morning. And both of them would tell you, if I asked them today, if you died today, would you go to heaven? They say, yes. Why? Because the Lord Jesus has forgiven me of my sin. When I ask him, then why are you getting baptized? Just in obedience to the Lord. It's sort of like a wedding ring. If you have a wedding ring on and take it off, are you still married? Sure. The ring is just a symbol. The baptism is just a symbol. But in many places, it's become a lot more than that. It's become a part of salvation, but it's not. Because the only thing that's a part of salvation is Jesus Christ hanging on that cross and shedding his blood. And his blood is what washes away sin. And when you come to Jesus Christ and say, Lord Jesus, would you forgive me of my sin? I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I want to. For Romans chapter 10, whosoever shall call upon the name of the Lord shall be saved. He said, look, I will save you. He said, I know there's some of you out there. And he's speaking to, we don't know how many here, that don't believe. Now I want you to notice, I'm just going to give you four types of people here. Number one, you'll see the people that debated on trusting Christ or not. They debated it. And maybe that's you this morning. Now, listen very carefully. How many of you here know your birth date? Would you raise your hand? Okay. How many of you remember being born? Nobody. Nobody ever has. But somebody told us when our birthday was. Okay? The second birth is not the case. Because you can only be born again, as Jesus said in John chapter 3 and 4, you can only be born again when you personally come to Jesus Christ. You may be 4 years old and understand the gospel, understand that you've been, you know, that you do things wrong, and that you've sinned against the Lord and you want him to forgive you, or you may be 40 years old. Either way, you only are saved by personally coming to Jesus Christ and asking him to come into your heart and be your Savior and wash away your sins. It is a being born again. Jesus said in John 3:3, you must be born again. Now, I was saved on June 18th. 54 years ago. I remember the birth date of it. I remember when I got saved. It was important to me. It changed my life. There are people that have gotten saved and have trusted Christ as Savior and kind of gotten confused over the years as to what date it was. It's not necessary that you know the date. Just like it's not necessary that you know your birth date. Susan's father doesn't know when he was born. I know he was, but I don't know when. So he doesn't know how old he is. But what I'm trying to say to you is that the thing that's important, that there's been a time in your life when you've come to Jesus Christ, it's irrelevant of churches or this place or where you are, but that you've come to him and said, Lord Jesus, it's me, Dave Pittman. I don't deserve to go to heaven, but I want to. And the example, one of the simple examples is the thief on the cross. He turns to Jesus Christ. He's receiving capital punishment. He says, look, at the beginning of on the cross, he's cursing at him. The two thieves are giving it to Jesus. Why don't you, if you're God, why don't you get us down from here? Prove it. And then the earth turns completely black. And all of a sudden he hears Jesus cry out, Father, forgive them for they know not what they do. And all of a sudden he begins to realize this is no normal person. This must be the Son of God. As he speaks to the one that just turned out the lights, the light of the sun and the moon, and he turned to him and said, Lord, would you remember me? Would you forgive me of my sins, what he's saying? He was so sinful, he didn't know how to pray. I've been around people like that. They said, Pastor, I'm too dirty to pray. I'm too filthy. My life has been too ruined and wrecked to be able to get down on my knees and say, God, forgive me. How could he do that? Because he promised he would. And so the thief on the cross both gives us an example that you can be saved at any point in time, in any location. I don't think anybody would choose a cross to get saved, but he did because Jesus turned to him and said, today shalt thou be with me in paradise. So it's a point in time. But it lasts forever. And there are people that are debating it. The thief on the cross, I don't think they were debating it all that much. I think they were convinced he was an imposter and a fake until all of a sudden he began to talk with people with compassion and grace and forgiveness. And it turned out the lights and all of a sudden they began to say there's something different about him. Even the Roman soldier at the foot of the cross said, this man was the Son of God. Are you debating it this morning? The Bible says here, from that time, many went back and followed him no more. And the reason it's the saddest verse, John 6:6, is because they debated it in their minds and chose not to trust Christ. That's the worst decision anybody can ever make in this life. To choose not to trust Christ. It's one thing of saying, I'm not going to make up my mind yet. I'll wait till next week. I'll wait till next month. The Bible says, boast not thyself of tomorrow, for thou knowest not what a day may bring forth. He said, acquaint now thyself with him and be at peace, saith the Lord. So the idea is today, if you hear his voice, harden not your heart. He's trying to get us to make the decision now before Satan comes in and steals away your heart and reasons with you and convinces you that Jesus is not real and that you cannot get to heaven with Jesus Christ. And you end up like this saying, I'm not going to follow Christ. I'm not going to go that way. And you go home. Some debated on trusting Christ. And died and went to hell. But then there were some that decided to trust him. Notice with me if you would, in verse number 68, then Simon Peter, Jesus said in verse 67, then said Jesus unto the 12, we also go away. He said, look, are you convinced that I'm not real? Are you going to go away too? Are you going to turn your back on me? Are you going to go away? And Peter makes this great statement. Answered him and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? Thou hast the words of eternal life. You have the answer to heaven. You have the answer to eternal life. You have all the words that we must follow. Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh unto the Father but by me. And you'll notice, if you would, in verse 69, He says, and we believe and are sure that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. No, we believe. We put our faith and trust in you. You know, today, are you one that has decided for Jesus Christ in your own soul? Really and truly, that's the reason why we bought these chairs, this carpet, built this building, was to provide a comfortable place for people to come, hear someone take a copy of the scriptures, read a passage of scripture, bring a few thoughts out of it and say, will you trust Christ today? It's the greatest decision anybody ever makes. And it's a decision everyone has to make. Now, you know, if you decide you're not going to get if you decide I'm not going to go to the doctor, I've got some issues, but I'm not going to go to the doctor. I know I'm not feeling well, but I'm not going to go to the doctor. I know people like that all over. They're scared of the doctor. I'm not going to go to the doctor. Well, the answer is this. If you've got cancer, it'll take your life. And if you decide not to go and get help, there's no solution for that. And if you decide not to come to Jesus Christ, there's no answer for that. Now, you may go to the doctor and he may or may not be able to help you with cancer. He may or may not be able to help you with epilepsy or whatever it might be that you would have, diabetes or you just name the illness or the difficulty. But I know there's one that you can come to, and every time we are sure that he can save your soul and give you a home in heaven, and you can leave this building and know that you're on your way to heaven. And most people in this room have decided to trust Christ as Savior. It doesn't make us one bit better than anybody who's not decided yet, except the blood of Christ has washed away our sin, and we're on our way to heaven with an undeserved ticket to heaven. Everybody in this room that's trusted Christ as Savior. Now, then there are some people that were debating it, and there are the people and they decided no. Then there are people that decided yes, and then there are people that began to drift and disappointed Christ. I think most of these people trusted Christ, but some didn't. You'll notice if you have your Bible, turn to Galatians chapter 5. I want you to see this verse. Galatians chapter 5, the drifters. Notice if you would. Look in verse number 7. Ye did run well. Who did hinder you that ye should not obey the truth? And there are some people that say, well, you know, I'm just not going to continue to follow. And I don't know if they were ever truly born again. I know this, once you're saved, it's forever because you become a child of God. But as many as received him, to them gave you power to become the sons of God, even them that believe on his name. And you can't become not a son or not a daughter. Though you can't even do that in this life. I know you can't do it in heaven. And so he said, look, what did hinder you? There are people that get hindered. They don't serve the Lord right. They look like, Brother Brandon brought a point up in Sunday school this morning that talking to some lady, and she says, I don't care what the Bible says. I know what I believe. And that's the wrong mindset, because this is the only basis with which we have to believe. And so that's the reason why I'm proud of everybody that comes this morning. You bring a Bible and you open it up and look at it in scriptures and see if what I'm telling you is the truth, because there are preachers that are wrong today, folks. Only preachers that are right are the ones that are most accurate to this book. They take the word of God. That's why I know it's not right to lie, because the Bible says, forget society. That's the reason I know why it's not right to cheat people, because the scripture says. That's the reason I know it's right to be kind to other people, because the scripture says that. And I know that my speech is not to be filled with curse words, because the scripture says that. And so it doesn't matter what other people say. It doesn't matter what other preachers do. There are some preachers and people like that drift. They're preachers that cuss around me. I have that much respect for them. There are deacons that I've heard curse. That much respect for them. You represent the King of heaven, the one who shed his blood for you, and you act like that? I don't get that. But there are Christians that drift. They drift. You know, one of my fears is this. The pandemic has hit. It's almost over. But there are people that that you know, and you're the only one that knows this, but there are people that are using it now and that can use it in the future. And I don't know, it's not up to me to judge that. I just know there are people that say, you know, I don't think I'm going to go back to church for a while. And they're not sitting in front of their computer or their television and watching a service. They're doing something else. They've just chosen to sort of drift a little bit. And there are people that even before the pandemic hit, said, well, you know, I'm going to get up this morning. I don't feel like going to church today. I don't feel like going and talking to the Lord. And the Lord said specifically, do not let yourself forsake the assembling of yourselves together. But there are people that are using this pandemic as a reason not to come to church so they can do other things. I think that's a drifting. Now, I want you to notice, these people drifted in doctrine. They looked at the scriptures and they said, well, you know, I put my faith and trust in Christ, but there's something about doctrine that this part and that part, I don't believe this, I don't believe that. And so they began to drift a little bit in their doctrine. And so as a result, we have 800 different kinds of churches in Northern Virginia now, just about. But what I'm trying to say to you is that whatever's according to this book is right. You might say, well, how do we know we're right as accurate as we are to this book? And I know this. I know that Jesus said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man comes to the Father but by me. And I know this. He said, it's my blood that washes away sin, neither by the blood of goats and calves, but by his own blood. And he entered in once into the holy place, having obtained eternal redemption for us. So salvation is through Jesus Christ and him alone. For by grace are you saved through faith, and that not of yourselves. It is a gift of God, paid for by Jesus Christ. So every Christian on the face of the earth has all of his boasting and pride removed, because when he steps foot inside heaven, you can look at somebody, how'd you get here? I trusted Christ. How'd you get here? I trusted Christ. How'd you get here? I asked him to forgive me. I trusted Christ. No one will be in heaven unless that's the statement, because that's the only way you can get there. Now, once we've trusted Christ as Savior, how are we going to live? Well, now that makes a difference between whether other people get to heaven or not. That makes a difference between whether you please Christ or not. And so when you and I begin to drift, oh, you got to be careful. Don't let your heart drift. Understand this. You can drift in doctrine. You can look at it and say, if you look at it and say, well, I believe that part, but not that part, you've drifted. Because the Lord said, all scripture is given by inspiration of God and is profitable for doctrine. It's very clear. So you and I look at it and say, okay, I believe the scriptures to be true. And so then, I'm not going to drift. Well, notice the next way you can drift. You can drift in doctrine, but you can drift in dollars. I just put it that way so it would work together, all D's. You can drift in dollars. You know, the Bible says in 2 Timothy chapter 4, verse 10, Demas hath forsaken me, having loved this present world. There's a lot of Christians, they just choose not to go to church because they need to make some more money. Or they decided they're gonna enjoy themselves. They want to enjoy their dollars. And all I'm trying to say to you is this. 1 second past death, all this is gone. You and I are in heaven, and you and I are going to look at it and say, oh, I wish I'd have done more for Christ. Every one of us is going to say that. But my question is, are you drifting today? Are you drifting in doctrine? No, I put my faith and trust in the scriptures. Are you drifting in dollars? Are the things that would prevent you from coming to church, are the things that would prevent you from reading God's word and studying it? Every morning, I get up. My alarm goes off 5 something in the morning. And I get up and I go to the shower, get showered, sit down in my chair. I take a copy of the scriptures and I read for, I don't know, till I finish my chart. And then when I finish it up, sometimes I'll read all the scriptures through in a year. Sometimes I'll read the New Testament through in a month. Sometimes I'll read the whole Bible in a shorter period of time. I just try to change it around a little bit. But as I'm going through, I'm highlighting things. And when I'm finished, I take up my prayer list. And I spend time praying for many of you in this room. I pray for you by name. I ask the Lord to bless you. I ask the Lord to protect you. If you've had cancer in our church, I pray for you every morning. that God keeps you cancer free. I see Robin. I pray for Robin. She's here from California. She's drifted away to California. No, I'm kidding. They moved to California. They're here today. She's here today. I pray for Robin every day. I pray for Wanda every day. I pray for Erica every day. I pray for every lady that I know of that's had cancer in our church. Why? I love them. I want them to make a difference for Christ. I want them to have more time. I pray for every man in this room that's had cancer. So the prayer list gets a little longer. There are people that you bring and you say, well, Pastor, would you pray for this person to get saved? It's a friend of mine. And I put it on my prayer list. And my list gets longer and longer and longer and longer. You think that's a waste of time? I don't. I think I have to adjust the rest of my schedule around those two things. I'm not willing to drift spending time with the Lord. I'm not willing to drift and say, well, Lord, I got things to do. If I've got a trip to take and I get up, I'm going to leave at 5:30 in the morning. I get up at 4:30 and spend time with the Lord. In other words, the Lord is first. I'm not going to drift. I've seen it happen. I saw my own dad drift. I watched him. When I led my first person to Jesus Christ as a teenage boy, my father and my father-in-law were sitting in the back seat to make sure that I used the scriptures correctly and that I did things the right way and that the person truly trusted Christ as Savior. They heard the gospel. Both of them went the wrong way. I'm tired of people drifting. Then there are people that drift out of despair and discouragement. I can understand that one a little bit better than dollars or truth, doctrine. But they get real discouraged. Elijah happened. Elijah had a great victory and somebody threatened his life and he ran for his life and got discouraged. I can understand that we shouldn't have that happen to us. Because we have a great God that says, I'm with you. I'll stand with you. I'm not going to leave you or forsake you. But I understand sometimes. I mean, Brandon spoke about in Sunday school about different events in his life. And I can remember some of those events where I had the choice of being very discouraged or trusting the Lord. And, sometimes I drifted a little bit. And sometimes I said, Lord, I don't want to go that way. I noticed John Mark. Young man, preacher boy, he's falling with his uncle Barnabas and a great man, Paul. And Paul's out preaching and, you know, you can stone me, it's okay. And people start picking up stones and he sees it and he gets scared. And the Bible says he left them in Acts 13:13. And he went back home. I can understand that. I wonder how many of us, if we knew the stoning was going to start this week, I wonder how many of us would stand there and say, I'm not moving. They still have stonings in Uganda. I heard Jeremy tell a story about someone that got stoned within the last month in Uganda. Now, they did something that's wrong, but what I'm trying to say to you is I look at it and I begin to see people drift a little bit. Don't drift in your coming to the presence of the Lord, either in the Lord's house or a private time with the Lord. Folks, everyone here ought to have a private time between you and the Lord where you talk with him and he speaks to your heart. And you know what I'm talking about. I'm not talking about an audible voice from heaven, but the presence of God is in your heart. If you don't have that, you've drifted. And look, we're human. If we're not careful, we'll all drift. I mean, there are preachers that will drift. We'll drift because we're not prepared in our hearts when you come to preach. And you know, that's my fear is that I would come and I would not have my heart completely right between the Lord and I when I get up to speak his precious word and to tell of his great goodness to all of us. But I'm just telling you today, people drift. Don't let it be you. Is your personal time with the Lord sweet? Is it that you love him? Have you drifted in doctrine a bit? Look, I chose a long time ago, Lord, I just want to follow you and walk with you. And if anybody else I'm around chooses not to follow you and not to walk with you, then I'll be friendly to them and kind to them, but I'm going to be friends and walk with you, period. That has spared my life of a lot of good people that went drifting. And it cost them. There's a price for drifting. And it's not a good price. It's a horrible price. And I noticed here the Lord Jesus looks at his disciples. And to keep in mind, he's seen hundreds of people turn and walk away. And then he looks at his disciples and said, will you also walk away? His 12 best friends, knowing one of them is lost, will you all walk away? And they said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You have the words of life. We want to follow you. Now, you can choose to drift and disappoint the Lord. But you could also choose to be devoted to him. And I just want to draw your attention to what it takes to be devoted to him. It does take a surrender of your heart to the Lord. Lord, I want to give you my heart. Have you done that this morning? You know, the Bible calls it daily pick up your cross and follow him. There's no one that can say, well, I gave my heart to the Lord 20 years ago and it still sticks. And I'm going to give you an example. How many of you have been married 20 years or longer? Would you raise your hand? Okay. Before the Lord took my wife to heaven, I was married 44 years upcoming. And there were times I'd get up in the morning and, you know, I'm busy and I got things going on. And I have this sweet lady with me, but I just didn't feel like loving her right that moment. When I say that, it wasn't like I didn't love her. It just, I didn't feel like expressing it because I had other things to do. I was busy. It's not like I didn't want to express it. I just got other things in my life. And that's drifting in your marriage. And I would have to get alone and say, Lord, help me to love my wife right. Lord, help me to love my wife first. You told me to love my wife like you love me. And Lord, you put me first. So I'd have to back up and say, you know, Lord, I do want to love my wife. And I'd say, honey, I love you. I'd remind myself, honey, I love you. And I'd go up and give her a kiss. And I said, I got to go today, but I do love you. And I'm thinking about you today. And if I didn't do that, sometimes I would just sort of leave her behind and go on forward. I think we do that with the Lord. I do that from time to time. I get up because I have a whole plate full of things to do. How many of you know what Cortana is? How many know Cortana on your phone? I hate that thing. It comes up every morning, says, Cortana, your schedule is this. Oh, you forgot things 2 days ago. I don't want to know about that. I just get up out of bed, Cortana. I said, man, it gives me a list of things to do. And, you know, I get the list of things to do. I want to start off with first things first. And so I get going and I get in the back of my mind, oh, I got to call so-and-so. Oh, I got to go do this. Oh, I got to go do that. And if I'm not careful, I could just stop my devotions and go start. But first things first. Everybody in this room has got priorities. What are they? Is Jesus Christ first? But seek ye first the kingdom of God and his righteousness, and all these things shall be added unto you. You know what? You've only got 168 hours in a day. Nobody in this room has got more than 168 hours in a day. You need the Lord to make your time efficient, to bless you, to help you get things done, or otherwise you can't get as much done without him as you can with him. Is he first? I can tell you there are times I get up and he's second or third and I've already got my list going and I'm ready to go and I have to pause and say, Lord, I'm sorry. It's got nothing to do with me being a preacher. It has everything to do with the fact that he saved me. I'm his child. I want to be close to him. And so I begin to look in scripture. I begin to think, okay, what does it mean to be devoted to Christ? And who has been devoted to Christ? And I went back and I looked at those 11 men, 12. Will you also go away? They said, Lord, to whom shall we go? You got the words of eternal life. Peter was crucified upside down because he felt ashamed to be crucified like Christ. Matthew was stabbed to death for Christ in Ethiopia. Andrew was in what's now Russia and was crucified. Thomas was pierced by spears of the four soldiers that hated him in India. Philip, martyred by leading a proconsul's wife to Christ, and had him killed for it. Bartholomew was martyred in South Africa. These are all things that we believe have happened. James, stoned in Syria for Christ. Simon, killed in Persia for not sacrificing to the sun god. Matthias, burnt alive in Syria for refusing to deny Christ. John, as far as we know, he's the only one to escape martyrdom. He was only boiled in oil and escaped and lived. Can you imagine what he must have looked like as his skin begins to cover and recover? Dallas has a hospital that has a unit, Parkland Hospital, my least favorite hospital in the whole world. It has a burn unit in it with people that have been burned over much of their body. The smell is different. The hope is different. I begin to think when I remember a man that was in a car and his car blew up and the gasoline exploded and he was burned over 100% of his body. And the family asked me to go visit him and I went and visited him in the hospital. And I remember seeing him and I said, oh my goodness, Lord. He didn't make it, but he fought for weeks. I began to think of John, boiled in oil, makes it out and somehow survives and then writes the book of Revelation for us. He's a boiled in oil exiled on the Isle of Patmos. And I begin to think, wow, he must love the Lord. And you know one of the evidences? The Bible says he's been exiled, kicked out of life, kicked out of society. He's on an Isle of Patmos all by himself and he's walking and it's the Lord's day. And you know what he's doing on the Lord's day? He's talking with the Lord. He didn't drift. Even though he got boiled for loving Christ. And the other guys died martyred-wise. I began to look at it and I said, Lord, I need to be more devoted to you. I remember in school, there were guys that you would look at, and you know, most of the schools that have most likely to succeed. Because that's based upon talent and gifts. But there were some people there that, you know, I looked at and I said, Lord, could you use me? I can't sing. I can't play. I can't do all the things a lot of guys can do. And then I looked at another young man over there. And, you know, I mean, I could see we're much in the same boat. And I didn't get a chance to see what had happened in his life until 2 years ago. We got on a plane somehow. We got to talking to Andy, to Randy Alderman and Jeanette, and he was that guy. We're just normal people. People that God said, I'll use you if you'll let me. And Randy Alderman came here at our missions conference. He's not dynamic and this and that. But when I went and we were driving up the road to Togo to his place, he said, we've got a church over here and there's another church over here. We got another church over there and a pastor over there. And he got saved. And you know, we broke down here and we planted a church in there. I said, you planted a church and then break down? He said, yeah, broke down. I was able to lead the mechanic to Christ and he wanted a church. And so we came back and planted a church there. And he went all over there. We counted like 39 or 40 churches. I said, wow. You can use anybody if they'll just be devoted to you. We have one missionary on our list. I think he's the longest missionary on our list. Martha and Luther Smith. How many of you know Martha and Luther Smith? Okay. Far side there on the, have you ever heard of the backside of the world? We'll try the backside of Papua New Guinea. They've been there for almost 40 years. They just refused to quit. Refused to drift. When they were here a few years back, we talked And it was just like sitting with Randy Alderman. Just the simplicity of, well, I just want to keep the Lord first. And we, you know, we get up in the mornings and we spend time with the Lord and we can't wait for church on Sunday morning. And Sunday night we get a chance to get our people together and to hear them sing. It just so thrills my heart. That's part of the reason I'm looking forward to get rid of the mask so we can sing again. And you can hear people sing and lift their hearts to the Lord. Folks, will you also go away? That's a question Jesus Christ is asking every one of us today. Will you hear the gospel and say, not for me? Will you hear the gospel and say, I'm going to trust Christ today? I was a member of the church. I was a member of an independent Baptist church and got saved. It's not where you're a member. Will you hear it? I'm going to decide for Christ. Will you? I don't know. I got things to do. I gotta go take care of this. Are you going to drift today? Has your life started to drift? Why don't you come to this altar and say, Lord, I drift a little bit. I just want to get close to you. I want you to be first in my life. Maybe you've drifted in your marriage. I want my husband, my wife to be first in my life. But right behind you. You know, then there's some that are going to say, I'm just going to give my life to Christ. I'm going to devote my heart to him. And that's what he's looking for. Today, would you trust him? Will you turn your life over to him? Or will you drift? Will ye also go away? Jesus asked that of us. Let's bow our heads for prayer this morning. Oh, how much he loves us. Father, I pray that this morning you would touch hearts. Lord, that thought has haunted me. Will you also go away? Lord, I don't ever want to drift from you like Demas did, like John Mark did. Now, Lord, we know John Mark came back and you used him to write the book of Mark in Scripture. But there was a time when he drifted. Father, that's potential for all of us. And Lord, this pandemic has made it easy for us. Lord, would you stir our hearts this morning? Would you draw us closer to you this morning? Father, would you speak to every husband and wife that's drifted a little bit? Lord, every teenager that's drifted a little bit. And Lord, help us to give you our hearts again. Lord, daily pick up your cross and follow him. Help us to do that. And Lord, I pray for those that have never trusted you as Savior. They've gone back through the annals of their mind and they cannot find the time or the place or location where they got on their knees or they paused their life and they said, Lord Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. Would you come into my heart and save me? Lord, it's not just asking for forgiveness for one sin. It's for all of them. It's asking to be your child, to be forgiven for all eternity. Lord, help them to do that this morning. In your precious name we pray, help us to do your will. Amen.